Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
President Donald Trump has backed US Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth after reports that military attack details were shared in a group chat that included Hegseth's wife, brother and personal lawyer. The controversy comes not long after a US journalist was added to a Signal group chat in which US cabinet officials, including Hegseth, discussed plans to attack Houthi rebels in Yemen. And all of this comes as stocks and the dollar plunged again as President Donald Trump intensified his attack on the US central bank boss Jerome Powell, calling him a major loser for not lowering interest rates. For more, I'm joined by Sarah Firth, foreign correspondent based in Washington, and by Stephen Carroll, host of Daybreak Europe on Bloomberg. Good morning to both of you. Can I turn to you first, please, Sarah? What is it that Pete Hegseth is alleged to have done this time?
Well, the allegation is that this is a second Signal chat where potentially classified information was shared, this time including Hegseth's wife, brother and lawyer. So another situation that's seeing classified information shared with civilians. I mean, the mood inside the Pentagon this week, I think, could be summed up with a bit of military slang, FUBAR. Fouled up beyond all recognition, although I'll leave listeners to imagine the term that the military actually used there. But in all seriousness, you know, a top former Pentagon spokesperson who was a backer of Hegseth, he has described this as a month of chaos and a full-blown meltdown at the Pentagon.
But he still has President Trump's backing.
He does for now. You heard on Sunday Trump coming out and saying, you know, Pete's doing a great job. Everyone's very happy with him. Look, when I first reported this story on the original Signalgate story that broke, where you had that journalist added to the group, I reported that after speaking with military sources who were reflecting on what the leak could mean for those in uniform. So whilst the White House has so far denied reporting that the they're considering replacements for Hegseth already, whilst you've had Trump still publicly backing Hegseth, and the White House essentially have said up until now, look, case closed. It's very clear that amongst senior military leadership, and you've had over the last couple of weeks, senior Pentagon staff ousted, lawmakers now on both sides of the aisle calling for Hegseth to go. And I think what's really important to point out is that this isn't just about politics anymore, and arguably never was just about politics. It's about national security interests and protecting lives. You know, there's the military saying this is basic operational security training that's still given, that loose lips sink ships. We've got Hegseth at the helm now, and there is real concern being voiced among military leadership and military members on the front lines of operations that there has been a breakdown in operational discipline at the very top. And this is not leadership, it's liability at this point.
Now, Pete Hegseth was at the White House on Easter Sunday for the traditional Easter egg roll. And in responding to this controversy, he chose to play the man, not the ball.
You know, what a big surprise that a bunch of a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax won't get back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. Pulitzers for a bunch of lies and on hoaxes time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on it. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me. So I'm really proud of what we're doing for the president, fighting hard across the board, and I'm going to go roll some Easter eggs with my kids. Thank you very much.
Now, he responded to the previous allegations by saying something pretty similar about the editor of The Atlantic, who was then able to prove his story beyond the slightest shadow of doubt. Has Pete Hegseth set himself up for another fall here?
I think the handling of it has certainly been criticised, and you saw that from the top Pentagon spokesperson, who, again, you know, was a backer of the Secretary of Defence. He was a backer of Hegseth when a lot of people, you know, were very concerned about the inexperience. He managed to get confirmed with this very, very narrow vote. I think it was only one vote that swung it in his favour. And so, yes, you've had this situation where now for a second time you've had Hegseth, who's leaked, and anyone you speak to here in Washington, D.C. And beyond, or who have held these senior military roles, you know, they're unequivocal about the fact that the information that has been shared is classified information, whichever way you swing it. And Hegseth has responded not by taking accountability, but by deflecting, blaming, and firing some of his staff. And, you know, some of the military sources I've been speaking to, that the descriptions of what that sort of leadership represents is basically unrepeatable. But, it comes back to the fact that he is the head of a department that is focused on America's national security, and on a very real level, politics aside, you've got both sides of the aisle now calling for him to be fired. Republicans are calling for that too. There are American lives in uniform at risk here.
Okay, let's go, Sarah, first. Thank you very much. Let's go from the Pentagon to Wall Street, excuse me, and to Stephen Carroll, host of Daybreak Europe on Bloomberg. What has Donald Trump said about the chair of the Fed, Jerome Powell, and why?
So Donald Trump has come back to a point that he made during his first presidency as well, where he's called on the head of the central bank to cut interest rates in the US. Now, this is something that was very common in the 60s and 70s, that you'd have presidents criticizing central bankers. Politicians like low interest rates because they're good for politics. People's mortgage rates are low. But it's certainly not a convention that you'd find in developed economies now, where politicians feel they can come out and tell an independent central bank what they should do. He stepped up that commentary over the weekend in his meeting with Giorgia Meloni. Someone asked him about his opinion of Jay Powell, and he said that if he wanted to get rid of him, he could. And there's legal questions over whether or not that would actually be possible. But it was enough, combined with the criticism that he made on social media. And you mentioned there him calling Jay Powell a major loser in his post on social media. That spooked the markets, particularly yesterday, prompting another sell-off on Wall Street over the past that we've seen. Obviously, the tariff story driving markets much lower. Looks like there's a bit of a bounce in markets today. So they're coming back from that. But it's seemed to be something that, yet again, Donald Trump is breaking another convention, causing a lot of concern for markets that if you were to try and implement policies, i.e. trade tariffs, that could raise inflation, that if you're thinking about getting rid of the person whose job it is to control inflation, that could add to even more uncertainty to what's been happening in this redrawing of the global economy.
Stephen, what is the mechanism, or is there one, for getting rid of the chair of the Fed? Or if the chair of the Fed no longer enjoys the confidence of the President of the United States, can he continue in his role?
So the only mechanism that exists in law is Section 10 of the Federal Reserve Act, which allows for a Fed policymaker to be removed for cause. Now, that is interpreted by most lawyers as meaning that if they've acted with gross negligence or malfeasance, that they could be removed from office. There is no other clear provision as to how Donald Trump could choose to get rid of the Fed chairman. There's lots of speculation about other methods that could try to be used to reshuffle the governor, the membership of that policymaking committee. Jerome Powell has been asked about this frequently, and he said clearly that there is no other way than to remove someone from the Federal Reserve Board than if it is for cause. But the question is this another legal order that Donald Trump will try to upset?
But if the markets were to see the White House or the chairman of the Fed having to go to the courts to vindicate their position, one can only imagine what would end up happening to stocks and shares.
We asked this on Bloomberg Radio earlier to Banu Bawaja from UBS, and he said that if something like that were to happen, if central bank independence were to be impinged upon, the market sell-off we've seen over the past few weeks would look like a picnic in comparison.
And that, I stopped counting at about $111 trillion. What is the latest figure?
In terms of losses, the S&P 500 is down about 15% so far this year. The superlatives keep on coming in terms of losses and how bad it is. I don't have an exact $1 trillion figure for you there. I stepped away from my computer to come and talk to you.
Because presumably that figure is slightly different than when you started talking to me. How are the markets in Europe that are just getting back to work today reacting?
Look, no great reaction on European stock markets anyway. They're down a little today, but there's a lot of those stories around there as well. The trade uncertainty story continues to play out while all of this is happening, by the way. So there's trade negotiations happening with JD Vance in India, for example, and hope that that could lead to some optimism there. There's new tariffs on solar panels coming from Southeast Asia countries. So those underlying concerns that markets already had are still there. One of the big trends that we've seen is the weakening of the dollar, of course, through all of this too, which is unusual because normally in times of uncertainty, investors like to go to the dollar as a safe haven trade. The place they are putting their money, though, is in gold. We saw it hit another record high in trading earlier, briefly going over $3,500 an ounce. It's just slightly below that level now, but for the moment, that haven trade of gold still seems to be the one that's attracting investors.
Stephen Carroll, host of Daybreak Europe on Bloomberg, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Coming up after the break, former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar on the passing of Pope Francis.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.